guys. Welcome back to Typically Peachy, and welcome to our February episode. We are recapping the month. It is weird not talking to you guys week over week now that I'm doing this new monthly structure. I haven't podcasted in forever. It has been weeks, and I've missed you. So here we are, back together again for February. What's new? This month was pretty good, actually. I feel like it is flying by, though. The fact that next week is March is a little bit terrifying. Already month three of the year. Wild. And I feel like it's not slowing down anytime soon. But let's talk about some things that happened in February. It was a pretty exciting month because I went to Minnesota for a bit to go and wedding dress shop for my sister. We had so much fun. We had the best time. We went with my mom and two of our friends. It was just fun. The entire experience, there were so many laughs, there were some tears even. She looked gorgeous in everything, quite literally everything she tried on. It made it a little bit hard to pick, but she did find the perfect dress that is so her, so where she's getting married. It just fits perfectly with everything, and it's unique, but also incredibly timeless. It's really beautiful. I'm so glad that she picked what she did. We made a full day of it, of course. We went to lunch after. Having things like this happen, especially for somebody like your sister, you know, somebody that's so incredibly close to you, it's so exciting. It just feels like a really big life moment because obviously it is a very big life moment. And every single step of that along the way is momentous. It's really amazing. So that was definitely a highlight. Also, timing-wise, me being in Minnesota worked out perfectly because my boyfriend's brother's fiance, yes, they are getting married too this year. She was also going wedding dress shopping that following week. So I went with her. That was so fun too. She looked so gorgeous. So many wedding festivities around me. This is just the time of life though. You guys heard about it so much last year from all the events that I was going to. And it just continues into 2026 for some very, very important people in my life. And then the Super Bowl happened. That feels like so long ago now. But that was a fun highlight in February. The Seahawks won with Sam Darnold, my quarterback, as their quarterback. I was mostly happy for him, of course happy for the team, but Sam Darnold, love to see it. We went to my boyfriend's parents' house for a Super Bowl party, and that was great. Got to see some people I haven't seen in a bit, so that's always fun. And halftime show, talk about one of the best halftime shows, seriously. I knew I was gonna love it, but I really felt like it was perfect start to finish, so incredibly entertaining. It makes me want to go see Bad Bunny in concert so bad. So I'm going to have to get on that. My sister saw him recently and she said the concert was unbelievable. So much fun. His performance felt like a true celebration. And speaking of celebrations, we celebrated a friend's birthday here in Chicago in February. I love having a birthday to celebrate. I feel like I have birthdays to celebrate almost every month of the year. I think maybe every month of the year. And if not a birthday, then some kind of an event or something. Me and my sister were recently going through our calendars, just seeing what we already have planned out for the year. And quite literally every single month, there's something going on. Busy times, busy times. Grateful to be busy though. Also this month, I got to meet my best friend's baby. Oh my goodness. She is so, so precious. So tiny, so perfect. I'm obsessed with her, truly obsessed with her. It's so wild having somebody so close to you in your life have a kid. It just feels kind of indescribable, sort of unbelievable almost. I can tell though, she's already the best mom. That baby is so incredibly loved. Thinking back and talking through this now, those are already some big moments in February. Another fun moment that happens every year, but of course Valentine's Day, it's love month. And that was supposed to be this baby's due date, actually, but she came a little bit early in her own perfect time. But Valentine's Day this year was really fun. I don't know what it was. It just felt like the whole day was sort of a perfect Valentine's Day. We didn't even do anything that wild. We just had a slow morning in which I didn't feel rushed at all throughout the day. One of the biggest things, one of the ways to show me love is to not rush me. I hate being rushed. But there was really no reason to be rushed throughout the day anyway. Slow morning, did some shopping, went to dinner, watched the movie Valentine's Day, of course. I feel like we always end up watching that movie and it's kind of a fun tradition at this point. It was a perfect day. And that weekend too, it was like a false spring over here. We had temperatures in the high 50s. That's unheard of in February in Chicago, even though now we are very much back down and that warm temperature just felt like a tease. But for Valentine's Day weekend, it was so ideal. Also, Valentine's Day was on a Saturday this year, which that was so nice too. And it was a long weekend. I wish it was always like that. Maybe that's why it felt so nice too and so not rushed. Just perfect. And then rounding out February, we're in the last week of it now. And we're going to be going back to Minnesota this next weekend because my boyfriend's brother's fiance, her birthday is this upcoming weekend, rounding out the month with more celebrations. And that's going to be really fun to celebrate her. And then we're into March. And like I said, that's just wild to me. I'm excited for March. There's a lot of fun stuff upcoming. I am going skiing in Italy again this year, which I wasn't able to do last year because it coincided with my sister's 30th birthday. And if you guys remember, we went to El Salvador last year for that, which was incredible. But I am excited to go back to Italy to go skiing again. And that trip really is fast approaching. 2 weeks away, fast approaching. I really got to get my ducks in order before that happens. So I'm excited. I feel like, though, once that trip comes, it's already going to be like towards the end of March by the time we get back. Kind of freaks me out, but honestly, one of my new set goals for this year for myself that I've been trying to adapt now in the second month of the year is also to try to not rush myself. You know, I told you guys I'm trying to do things very intentionally this year, but I also don't want to feel like I'm stressed the entire time because things aren't working out in the time frame that I want them to. I think I just need to chill and stop putting so much pressure on timing, which is a very hard lesson to learn and try to actually integrate into your life when you're currently in it. I think it's easier to look back and be like, yeah, you don't need to rush, you don't need to stress about time frame, things like that. But when you're in the mix of it all, it feels like things are happening both too fast and too slow, if that makes any sense at all. But anyway, let's keep this podcast moving. Let's get into the rest of this episode and right into what's hot this week. Okay, now, because we're only doing monthly episodes for right now, there are going to be some things that are not quite as up to date as week over week. You know, I'm recapping some top things that I've been pulling out that I knew that I wanted to talk about. So the first thing is the Blair Waldorf spinoff book. I'm sure if you are a Gossip Girl super fan like me, you have heard that this is in the works. And basically, I just wanted to talk about it to say that I am so excited about it. I was not a person that read the Gossip Girl books. I only watched the show like 12 times, the whole series all the way through. Okay, so I love it. But I think now with this Blair Waldorf book, maybe I will read that book when it comes out. I am wondering, though, the question that I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, is Leighton Meester going to play Blair Waldorf if this book gets adapted into a TV show? I think the only correct answer is yes, especially because apparently this book takes place 20 years in the future, I think around that time frame, so it only makes sense for Leighton to do it. I do think she has kind of an interesting relationship with that character, though, and that series. I feel like her and Penn Badgley are always talking about their experience on Gossip Girl as maybe not their favorite thing. They were just on a podcast together, Penn Badgley's podcast actually, Pod Crushed, and it was the final episode of his podcast ever, and he brought her back as a guest. I think she was the first guest on the podcast, so he rounded out the whole series like that with her back on, which I thought was beautiful. I also love hearing her in interviews, specifically with people that I feel like she feels familiar with, because you get way more of a true sense of who she is. And I feel like she's funny, really smart, driven, and hopefully will play Blair if this book does turn into a series or a movie. We'll see, but I remain hopeful. Leighton Meester definitely is having a resurgence right now. Personally, for me, she's never gone away because, again, I keep watching Gossip Girl, so she's always on my screen, but for those that have only seen her in some of the more supporting roles recently, we need her back as a leading character. So excited for the book, excited to hear more about it as it comes to fruition. Okay, next up for what's hot, Dirty Rotten Scandals, America's Next Top Model, the docuseries that came out on Netflix. Wow, that docuseries, I feel like unlocked a dormant memory for me. I know everyone sort of had the resurgence with America's Next Top Model in 2020. I did not. I didn't even really realize that people were re-talking about it, that things were being shared about this again. But I did watch it in real time a lot when it was actually airing. I loved that show. I loved all the shows like that. I loved America's Next Top Model, Project Runway. They just appealed to me so much, these fashion reality shows. And America's Next Top Model was top of the list. It is wild now seeing the behind the scenes of all this, because when you're watching it as a kid, you're not thinking about how it's going to affect you later on in your life, what things you're going to take from it, what things are going to stick with you. But now watching the docuseries and being reminded what was in this show, what was said, how these girls were treated, the way that those girls were not protected, all of it. And again, I was watching this young, like young, way younger than to be able to understand what any of those conversations or circumstances, what the repercussions of any of those would be. I would love to hear from somebody that was watching it though as an adult, you know? Because I feel like the majority of the stories that I've heard are from people that are my age. The documentary as a whole though, very little accountability taken, heartbreaking stories that we got more context on, and just a reminder of so many unrealistic, toxic beauty standards that again we heard at such a young age, not just from this show either. There were a lot of things perpetuating the same message across the board. It is so wild though to see how far we've come in how shocked we are to hear some of the things that were said back then. Because of course, with a modern mindset of it all, it is shocking to hear some of that stuff. But that's why I want to hear from somebody that watched it as an adult in that time. Because I'm sure it wasn't shocking. I'm sure it was just like, oh yeah, this is a competition show. Some of the feedback might be harsh, but it's a harsh world or whatever. I don't know. But no. They went way too far on way too many occasions. Also, it feels that they talk a lot about too the intention of the show was to be able to provide more inclusivity in the space and really champion these women. And it just feels like that goal somewhere along the way got lost. Also, do we think that it's coming back? Because that was teased out in the documentary saying that there's going to be a return of America's Next Top Model. But I also heard chatter about it that it was said in the doc, but that it's not actually in production or anything like that right now. So we'll see. But I feel like the general takeaway from the documentary is that it was an opportunity for accountability and there wasn't a lot taken. More so, I'm just glad that these women got to share their own stories with the experience. Because also too, at that time, there wasn't social media. So the opportunity to share your own story on your own platform, it didn't exist like we know it to today. So I'm at least glad they have the ability to talk about it now. Real blast from the past though, and it actually has led to a lot of interesting conversations that I've had recently. So at least we're talking about it. All right, next up for what's hot. The Met dress code was announced, and the dress code is, drumroll please, fashion is art. I couldn't agree more. I'm going to read you guys Vogue magazine's Instagram post announcing this. Okay, on Monday, May 4th, guests at the 2026 Met Gala will celebrate costume art, the spring exhibition at the Met Museum's Met Costume Institute. But what will they wear? The Met Gala dress code for this year is fashion is art, inviting guests to express their own relationship to fashion as embodied art form. The directive perfectly reflects the ethos of costume art, which explores the centrality of the dressed body through depictions and interpretations of the human form in the Met's extensive collection. The co-chairs for this are Beyoncé, Nicole Kidman, and Venus Williams. And the 2026 Costume Institute Benefit Host Committee co-chairs are Anthony Vaccarello and Zoe Kravitz. Very exciting. I love when they announce the Met theme. I love when they announce the dress code. And I feel like this is going to be a fun one. Fashion is art as a dress code feels very much like we could get a lot of unique, beautiful, obviously artistic pieces. And I'm excited for that. I'm hoping that we see really interesting shapes, really interesting colors, patterns, art, you know? I'm expecting some designers to take some big risks. I'm expecting some larger than life pieces, and I'm expecting some subtle art, whether that be some unique textures and fabric. I'm sure there will be some interpretation of actually putting art pieces on fabric. I don't know. I think we're going to see it interpreted in a lot of different ways because there's a million ways to do this dress code. I'm excited. I'm very excited to see what we're going to get. So stay tuned. First Monday in May. There's a lot to look forward to for that. Not just the Met, but also Devil Wears Prada 2 is coming out at the top of May. I feel like we've been talking about that forever. At least I have been. But I'm so excited and I will stay excited up until the point that I see it. Probably after too. All right, that is it for what's hot this week. So let's get into the rest of this episode and right into what's good. All right, first up for what's good, and really the main thing that I wanted to talk about in this section is the Tell Me Lies series finale. If you don't watch the show, I'm sorry. Maybe this is an endorsement to watch the show though, because this show really had me at the edge of my seat season over season. I feel like I was so locked into it. Every single season, I was impressed by how locked in I was, how much I cared about the storyline of these characters. I will say, once we got to season 3, which was this past season, I was thinking, where do we go from here? So much has happened. So many of these storylines are diabolical. How can you possibly both keep this story going, or how can you possibly wrap it up? There was so much that happened. And I know people have mixed opinions about the ending of this. Well, mixed opinions first about the fact that it was announced pretty much right before the last episode dropped of season 3, that the last episode would be the last episode of this series. And I want to say that I watched the last episode without knowing that it was the last episode ever. But the first thing that I said to my boyfriend when that episode ended was, I feel like this should be the last episode of this series. It just felt like it was so perfectly wrapped up. And this was, by the way, me thinking that there was going to be another season after this. People were speculating, nobody really knew, but there wasn't yet an announcement, at least I didn't know of the announcement yet, that this was going to be the series end. But then after I saw the episode, I looked into, are they confirmed for a next season? And then I found out that they actually just announced that this is going to be it. I'm so glad they ended it where they ended it. It is so rare, I feel like, with TV shows nowadays, that they don't string it on for too long and they just get everything out. And some people's critiques were that it felt like a rushed ending because of that. I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like how it ended, how things came to light, everything was so realistic. Also, spoiler, but it has been out for a while now, so I feel like I can say the spoiler. Lucy ending up at the gas station alone, again being tricked by Steven. Perfect, because realistically, her character was portrayed in a way that she wouldn't have changed, and of course she was going to get back in the car with him. We already saw that her habits have not changed over the course of the years from college into her adult life, so it made sense. And I know too, people were speculating that that ending was actually Lucy's grand plan, and that's how she actually gets rid of Steven, sort of like what Diana did with the whole LSAT situation. I firmly believe that is not Lucy's character. I think Lucy is very reactive. We see her try to plan things out previously, and they fail tremendously. So no, I do not think that that was Lucy's grand plan. I think that she actually just got left by Steven. And then I felt like everything else got wrapped up as it should too. Wrigley and Bree are clearly going to end up together now that everything's on the table. The look that they give each other at the end, perfect. I don't need to see more of their love story. I feel like they're just ending up together. Diana and Pippa, the way that they leave the whole mess at the reception of the wedding, amazing. They get out of there. Thank goodness. Diana remains a level-headed character. I love their exit. Evan, I guess we had to make Evan bad in order to really root for Wrigley and Bree. So he did some pretty terrible things to Bree that she doesn't even fully know about. So I'm fine with how that nets out. There were some other things that people are frustrated about, like there not being any true justice for the professor, things like that. And yeah, I'm mad about that too. I think though that the creator said, don't quote me on this, I just think that she said, that there are just some things that wouldn't get justification. as frustrating and upsetting and not fair as it is, there's some truth in the portrayal of that. For a lot of things, though, I just didn't feel like we needed extra details on it. I didn't feel like we needed to see out those storylines further. Because I do think that when you do that, that's when it gets stale. I think that if they had made one more season, it would have been sort of a throwaway season. Because the wedding would have been over. So then we would have just basically seen how things played out, I guess, after the wedding. But I didn't think that was necessary. I really felt like that event was a solidifying event that probably a lot of these people aren't going to see each other anymore after that, which is probably for the best. These people need distance. These people need new friend groups, just newness in their life. And yeah, Steven being the one to shed light on everything makes sense based on his character. He definitely didn't get all the consequences that he deserved. But again, a very, very unfortunate reality that I think a lot of times happens. He's definitely not happy, though. I'm sure his sister still doesn't talk to him. I don't think he has any meaningful relationships in his life, and he's still playing the games. So basically, no growth. And if I'm being honest, the repetitive toxicity, it does become a little much. Sometimes I would see those episodes, and it would be a little draining after the fact. Like I said, I was so entertained by the show, but it was a lot sometimes. So I'm happy that it's over. I'm happy that it was what it was, and I'm happy how it ended. I think perfect last scene as a show. Obviously, not getting justice for some of that stuff is probably the saddest truth of it all. All right, and that is my opinion on Tell Me Lies. The ending, I know we all have a difference of opinion, but that's mine. All right, and last up for what's good, a song for you all is Run Run by, apologies if I pronounce this wrong, Kid Francescoli and Giulietta. As always, you can find it on our playlist, Typically Peachy, What's Good, on Spotify. And now, let's get into the final part of this episode, wrap it all up with Need to Know Basis. Here we go. Okay, this week, I wanted to talk about two things that I feel like kind of tie into each other. And you know, last month, I talked about things not working out the way that I thought that they were going to at the start of the year. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns. A lot of things that I thought that I knew of how it was going to be, not being that way. And I feel like I'm just trying to have a perspective shift now and not just sit in that mindset and sort of actively try to get out of it. One thing that ends up helping me with that is, one, talking to people, understanding that many people feel the exact same way, which is just honestly comforting to know that you're not alone in the thought of something like that. But two is leaning into quotes. I will hear something, I will ruminate on it, and it can actually help me shift my perspective on things, okay? One of them that I heard recently is, you won't believe it, but it's an Office quote from Andy, okay? Which, by the way, that means the writers of The Office said, I wish there was some way to know that you're in the good old days when you're in them. Now, I know this is not a unique concept. I feel like people talk about it quite a bit. Of just being able to look back at your life at different stages of your life and you long for the past. I think that happens quite a bit. I know for myself it definitely does. And we tend to look back at the positives and not really focus on the negatives. And I don't know what that is. Somebody that knows more about this could speak on this more eloquently, I'm sure. But the idea that we tend to store good memories holistically. I don't know, like I definitely store bad memories. But when I think about a period of time in life, I feel like I look back on the good and I don't think about the stress of it or the downsides of it or whatever. So anyway, all that to say, that quote, I wish there was some way to know that you're in the good old days when you're in them. It was reminding me to think about this stage of my life right now and how even though I'm unsure about so much, I'm also so fortunate, so lucky to be in the position that I'm in right now and I have time. I am constantly reminding myself that I have time. Not just in the sense of, oh, I have time to figure it out. More in the sense of, we constantly have time to reinvent or do something different or switch paths or figure out a new passion or whatever it may be. Because we can do that our whole lives. There's no time limit to any of that. So taking pressure off of things happening immediately or even that it matters that it happens right now and instead focusing on, well, what are the great things that are happening right now? What do I love right now? What am I going to miss about right now? If I were to look 10 years in the future and I look back at today, February 26th, 2026, what am I going to feel were the good old days? Because that's all I think the good old days are. Just positive memories of times in the past. They're all good old days. Everything in the past is good old days. So I think that quote is really just about having appreciation for the present and thinking about it as if you were your future self. So that's the first thing that's given me a good little perspective shift that I thought I would share with you all. And then the second thing, I actually heard on another podcast that was really encouraging to kind of just hear them talk about it. And that podcast is the What We Said podcast. They're two best friends. I love the conversations that they have. And one of them on there was talking about the importance of participating in things that give you more energy. And I thought the conversation was so interesting because how she framed it, and I think she actually heard this from a friend. So, you know, we're all out here just sharing information here. But essentially, she framed it as when something good happens, like you get good news, you just got an amazing opportunity. Instantly, you have a very positive energy shift, which means the ability to have an amazing energy shift is there. The potential is already there. That feeling inside is always accessible. You might not always feel it. It may be hard to feel it sometimes, and it may require something actually happening that's positive for you to be able to tap into it to feel it. But the fact that it's possible and that it's there and that you can feel that feels encouraging to me. Because to me, that means, okay, if that's accessible in me, I just have to figure out the things that bring me energy. I have to figure out what in my life that I've seen in the past has made me feel the most fulfilled, made me feel the most excited, made me feel the most encouraged about whatever I want it to be, right? Like moving forward or whatever success means to me at the time, or like I'm working really hard or I'm getting something out of whatever I'm putting in. Figuring out what those things are for me and honestly writing them down. What makes me feel like I'm energized? What makes me feel like I'm wanting to do the next thing so that I keep getting energized? I think actually identifying that is a really good step if you feel like you're sort of in a rut or you feel like you're not super motivated right now or, I don't know, just down on your luck a little bit. It's not that it's not there. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's not that you can't access it again. You just need to figure out how to manufacture it for yourself so that you're not waiting for the next big opportunity to happen for you to feel energized. Instead, you're doing consistent little things to keep that energy going. So that's what I've learned this month. Those are a couple things that I've heard that I feel like have actually genuinely helped me. Excited to see how that continues on. Excited to see what new things I learn up to the next point that I talk to you guys. But for now, that's all I have. That is the February episode. What a month it's been. I'm excited for March. I am actively living in the good old days, and I'm reminding myself that every day. Feel free to do the same, and let's see if that impacts our energy too, okay? Any little thing that can help. Thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode. I hope that you have an amazing rest of your week, a fantastic weekend. Spend some time with the people that you love. Say something nice to a stranger. Keep living out Love Month to the fullest. We still have a couple days left. Find what brings you energy. And don't forget to stay peachy, my friends.